Tell him. Thank you. I wasn't going to tell him what it was about.
Oh, sorry.
Gave him a punchline. No, it's all good. Well, like he said, you guys get two for the price of one today. And we're not even charging any extra for that. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And even though I'm not going to start there, I just want you to be ready. I'll be spending most of my time there. This is going to be a very short teaching on something that I could spend a lot more time on, and I will at some point. So I just say this on the onset. I want you to know, I know that there's going to be, this is an overview. It is not going to be an exegesis on this teaching. So just catch it, catch the revelation that's in this, and then you can take it home and spend time with the Lord and with the Word in your lap. You know what I mean? I'm just going to point out a door, and you need to open the door and go through the door. But this is a really powerful, beautiful truth concerning money, finances. How many of you know I don't teach on finances? I can't remember the last time I taught on finances or money. But let me tell you how Jesus feels about it. Jesus taught more on money than any other single subject. Bet you all didn't know that. Not only that, according to one thing that I read, I don't know, I haven't taken the time to count it out, but according to one thing I looked at, it said that he spoke 10 times more about money than any other subject. 10 times. This seems a little hot. We have some echo up here at least. So all that to say, do you think that he considered it an important subject? He spent more time on that than he did talking about faith, about salvation, about the love of God. He spent more time talking about your and my our relationship with money. And one of those examples is Mark chapter 10, when the rich young ruler came up to him. And the rich young ruler came up to Jesus. So get this, it points out the fact that he was rich. It didn't just say a man came up to Jesus, it said a rich man came up to Jesus and said, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus read the Ten Commandments to him. He said, "Lord, I've done all those since my youth." Now Jesus knew this man was rich, and he knew that the man thought that the man had riches, but Jesus knew that the truth of the matter was that the riches had the man, and Jesus wanted to set him free. And I want you to take note, if you look at it later, it says Jesus, looking at him, loved him. It says he loved him. Jesus isn't rebuking him. He's not angry with the man. He loved him, and as a result, he was trying to set him free. Do you realize this is a parent talking to his child? Because this is the Creator. Every human being he came into contact with is his creation, just as much as you love your child. If your child's, you know, just think about that heart you have for your child when you see them doing something that is hurting them. They don't even know it's hurting them. How do you feel towards them? And so you teach. That's the heart that Jesus had towards this man. And Jesus said to the man, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and then come and follow me." Now, Jesus only said that to another dozen men. Come and follow me. He was giving this man an incredible opportunity. And it says that the man went away sad. Now, even his disciples reacted to this. This is how strong it is that he said, "Come and follow me." And this is how strong it is that he said, "Give everything that you have away." The disciples turned to Jesus, and they were just like stunned by his teaching. Jesus, knowing this, says a few things to them. And he said, "Listen, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yea, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." What was the reaction of the disciples? Were they like, "Yeah, That's right, Lord, give it to them. Left and then a right. No, it says they were shocked. They were astonished at this saying. Why is that? Because that community that they were a part of was incredibly wealthy. The Jews were magnificently blessed of the Lord. So virtually every family was wealthy. And now Jesus tells them, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why they were astonished. What? Lord, what are you saying? And then Jesus said, with men this is impossible, but not with God. So Jesus is not opposed to riches at all. And that's important that you understand that, because it's so easy to go there and to think, yeah, he's opposed to it. In fact, that's what's been taught a lot. And it's a very, there's a religious idea that comes along with this that says Jesus is opposed to money, or you having money. That is not the case at all. In fact, one of the disciples, thinking that he was all spiritual, said, Lord, we gave up all to follow you. What shall we have? What shall we receive? And then Jesus said, anyone who lays down his life, his even, and he mentions friends, family, but then he also says lands, houses, that's material things, for my sake, shall receive 100-fold. Not just in the by and by, he says now in this life and in that which is to come. So Jesus just told the man, I'll give you 100-fold whatever you give up for me. He was just about to make this man 100 times wealthier than he already was. That's Mark chapter 10.
The laying down.
Yes, that's Mark chapter 10. That's that whole story. Everything I've been talking about right now is out of Mark chapter 10. It starts off with the rich young ruler coming to Jesus. So I just want you to hear this. Jesus knew that the man thought that he had riches, but the fact of the matter is the riches had the man. Jesus was trying to set him free. And then at the very end of that section of teaching, he says to his own disciples, anyone who gives up anything for me, if you're doing it for me, you're going to get 100 times back. And then Mark chapter 4 teaches the same principle, the sower, you know, sows the seed. And it says, and these are those who sow on good ground, they shall receive 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Right, so the principle is consistent there. All right, now go with me to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6, we pick up Jesus talking. This is a whole other story. He's talking to the crowds of people around him. And in verse 19, Matthew 6, 19, he says this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. So this is just one more place you see Jesus talking about finances, about money in people's lives. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But instead, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then he says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, this verse, I think, is misunderstood by a lot of people as far as what he's saying. And it can almost sound like basically where you put your money is where your heart will be. That's not what he's saying. What Jesus is saying is where, now listen to this, where you truly believe in the center of your being. Not what you say, not what you even think on the superficial level, but what you actually believe in your heart of hearts is your provision. Where you believe your provision is, that's where your heart's going to be. And most people do not believe that that source is God. Even though they will say it, even though they might even think it on a superficial level, take away their job suddenly and find out, see how they respond. The reality is most people believe in their heart of hearts their provision is their job and or their spouse. And the idea of losing that just will strike them with fear, strike us with fear. Jesus is saying that's where your heart is. if we have kingdom mindset, if our mind has been renewed to the Word of God, if we're really walking in line, in agreement with God's ways, the kingdom of God's ways, the reality is you can lose your job. Suddenly, unexpectedly, it goes. Or your spouse loses their job if your spouse is your source, right? And it will not, it literally will not even faze you as it relates to your concern about provision, because your mind is locked in to the reality that God is your source. So when this over here falls away, nothing changes because that was never your source. But it's when your mind is on it that when it goes away, you go with it, and you'll find yourself angry at Him. Because all of a sudden you say, well, wait a minute, you are the one that was like, you're supposed to be looking over me, and you can find yourself getting angry with God, or at least maybe when it goes so far as being angry, maybe you're just frustrated, confused, starting to have long talks with Him about it. All of this is just a sign that He was never really your source. This was. And Jesus is saying, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So focus on where your treasure is. Jeremiah 17, the principle applies there. It says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. The Lord is saying, if flesh is your strength, whether it's you or your spouse, your boss, your career, if that is your strength, your heart has departed from the Lord. Even though you say you love the Lord, and you may genuinely love the Lord, the reality is this thing, that source, God says that's where your heart is. That's why He's saying your heart has departed from me. The exact same principle that Jesus is saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Do you understand it? Do you see that connection? Okay, good. So Jesus says this, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Then He goes down, drop down to verse 24, and I want you to see this verse. Verse 24 says this, Matthew 6, 24. No one can serve two masters. And I want to emphasize the no one, because it's very easy to think, well, I mean, I can. You know, I mean, I can go after money and I can still, I mean, I love the Lord. Oh yeah, I'm serving the Lord. And Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to or hold to the one and despise the other. No one can serve God and mammon. Now listen to this. No one can serve God and mammon. Now what does mammon mean? What exactly is mammon? This is an interesting word. I tried to study the origin of this word only to find out that there's a lot of speculation about the origin of this word. But something very interesting about this word is that it is carried throughout cultures without changing. The word doesn't change. Whether it came from the Babylon era or in its, because it was there, it was also in, through the Syrian era, it was also in the Greek culture, it was in those who spoke Aramaic, which we believe Jesus spoke Aramaic, and then even as it's translated into the English Bible, the word remained mammon. It didn't change. So what's your point there? I don't know, I just thought I'd bring that up. I just find it interesting. No, but the word remained unchanged. Now, one thing that is common in all the studies, if you study out the word mammon, you'll find out is that it was connected to a demon. That it is believed by all of these cultures that it is the god of riches or the god of greed. It seems that there was a god in Syria called Mammon, and he was the god of covetousness. And it's believed that it came, that the Syrian god Mammon came from the Babylonian culture, and that of course Babylon came from the Tower of Babel, which is, the word Babel means confusion, and all the whole root of that culture, that world, was that they wanted to build their own way to heaven. They were going to do it on their own without God. It was just pride. And I will be my own source. And God sent confusion, and that's where we get the word Babel. He sent confusion to the people because of their heart position to be their own source. And that it's most believed that's where the source of this demonic god, this demon called Mammon, came from. Now, we also see Jesus, when he's teaching on it, it's personified, the way he speaks about it. It is far more than money. I don't believe at all Jesus is really talking about money. When he says you cannot serve it, you will love it and be loyal to it, or you will hate it and despise it. He's personifying this. And I believe that what Jesus is talking about here is the spirit of Mammon. And do not question at all the reality of that there is a spirit connected to money, because it is. And it is very controlling. And this is why Jesus speaks of it so much. It says in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. And then it says, and those who seek after it will fall away from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Now again, the contrast, the other side of that coin is, so you don't go religious on me and think God's all against money. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22 that the blessing of the Lord makes one what? Rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Again, you see, God is saying, I'm okay with you having riches. I'm not okay with riches having you. Do it my way, and I will bless you, and you'll be truly blessed. Right? So, Jesus talks about you cannot serve both God and mammon. I'm going to just show you a quick definition of the word mammon. Look at this. Mammon comes from the Greek word, mammonos. And it's like, it says, of Chaldean origin, confidence. Yeah, that's the other thing. It has a root of understanding or root definition of confidence in it, or trust. It's wealth personified, avarice. I had to look that word up. I didn't know what avarice was. But it's basically an insatiable greed. Deified mammon. That's the definition of it. The Hebrew equivalent to it is Ammon, which is to trust. So I just kind of want you to see this understanding of mammon. There's a trust involved with it. It's personified, deified, and it certainly means, it also means riches. So what is my point in all this? Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, I mean on earth, but lay them up in heaven. He says you cannot serve God and mammon. Most people are under the sway of the spirit of mammon. One way you can know that, you ask yourself, like, how do I know? How can I test myself? Am I under this sway? Am I serving mammon more than I am serving God? Is mammon really my treasure, or is God? One way you can answer that, ask yourself this, because I'm going to tell you something. Money talks. How many know it's got a voice? Because there is a spirit behind it, and it talks. And it will tell you such things as, I will bring freedom to your life. And if you find yourself thinking that, these kinds of thoughts, that it will bring freedom. It says, hey, if you have enough of me, you'll be free. You can do what you want, go where you want, man, then you'll finally be free. You'll break out of this bondage. It also promises to give you identity. That's the voice of mammon. If you had more of me, you would be something, and you would be someone. Everyone will look up to you, respect you. It also promises to bring security. If you had more of me, you would have no more worry. You struggle with worry, and this spirit says to you, if you just had more of me, you'd be free of worry. It also promises happiness. I will make you happy. If I just had more money, I'd be happy. My marriage would be more blessed if we had more money. We'd be happier in our marriage. It promises these things, but Is it true? You may find yourself going, well, I think that would be true. I think I would be freer. I would, in fact, be kind of recognized more if I was rich, and I would have security and all that. All you have to do is do a superficial study of the rich and famous and see what does it actually produce. You can study the Bible, and it will tell you. You don't have to just study the Bible, and it'll tell you what it produces. It's all a lie. Only God can provide true freedom. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Only God can truly bring true freedom. Only God can give you true identity. Because if your identity is out here having money and having wealth and having a house and all that so that people will look up to you, you will find out very quickly how much that will actually pierce you through with sorrow, because the people and the things are so fickle, they change moment by moment. The very ones that praise you today will be the ones cursing you tomorrow. Jesus spoke to the religious people and said, you know, you say that he's great and you say I'm a drunkard, you know, because, well, I don't want to go into all that, but anyhow, Jesus said, it doesn't matter. You that are praising me today, you're going to curse me tomorrow. Jesus did not commit himself to man, it says, because he knew what was in man. The true identity comes in your relationship with your Creator. You can only get that with God. Security only comes from God. Happiness only comes from God. True happiness, true security, true identity. So why am I saying all this? What is the point of all this? God has given us a weapon against the spirit of mammon. Mammon is a tree, a powerful tree in a root system that is growing up into the souls of every man, woman, and child trying to take control of you. And God has given us a powerful weapon in the tithe. The tithe is like a soldier going into the chamber. Every single time you bring the tithe to the Lord, it is literally like the soldier going into the chamber and laying the axe to the root of the tree of mammon. Amen. Your money cries out to you when you are about to tithe and say, no, I need that. You need that. You need that to pay your bills. You need that for that new whatever. You can't do this. You can't afford to do this. And it starts bringing fear, intimidation. And when you bring the tithe, which is a fairly large portion of your income, God, one of the powerful reasons God has given us this privilege of bringing a tithe to him is because he wants you to lay the axe to the tree of the spirit of mammon. And when you truly tithe and you tithe properly, you bring that tithe to the Lord. That's what you're doing every single time, even if you never realized it before. But I wanted to bring this to your attention to think about it so the next time you go in, you can go in with even more purpose and more faith and saying, yes, I'm giving this up. I'm laying the axe to the voice of the Spirit that would say to me, this is my source. I say, no, he is my source. And you lay this at his feet and God says, test me now in this, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessing, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. God just lays out these promises of protection and provision, supernatural provision to those who would bring the tithe to him. That is just one of the many very powerful truths about tithing. It lays the axe to the root of the spirit of mammon. You are saying to mammon every time you bring that tithe to the Lord, no, I do not serve you. Money is not my God. He alone is my God, and he alone is my source in my provision. Amen? Amen. Peter, if you would. Yep. They haven't received the offering yet, by the way. Oh, they hadn't? Okay. This would probably be a good time. After you taught about it. Oh, okay, very good. Well, then on that note... Well, that's, yes, bring your axe, that's good. Let's do that. Let's bring our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. And Father, we want to take just a moment right here and just say thank you, how you look out for us in every area, everything that the enemy is scheming against to take control of us, to bring us into bondage in all so many ways, Father, if we will just follow you and obey you, Father God, you have laid out a path of excellence for us, a path of righteousness for us to walk in, and it just sets us free, Lord, in every area. We can walk in true joy, true peace, true prosperity, true security, if we'll just follow you. And right now, Father, we make a decision to follow you in the giving of tithes and offerings. We trust you, Father God, as our source, not our spouse, not our job, not our careers, not even ourselves, but you alone are our source, Father. We worship you with the tithe and the offerings right now, Father. As we give it now and every time after this, every time we bring it to you, Father, we worship you and we declare you alone are our source. Father, we pray your blessing over the tithes and the offerings now, that it would go forth in your kingdom, Lord, and produce great fruit, that it would win souls to the kingdom, and that it would return to us a hundredfold, Lord, bringing prosperity into our life and enabling us to be even more of a blessing, showing forth your wonderful benevolence to a lost and dying world, Father. Father, we commit to be stewards of the finances in our life, that we would show it the way you would have it shown, that we would be generous the way you would have us be generous in this world, Father God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.